Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if I asked you this morning, what is the kingdom of God like? How would you answer? What is the kingdom of God like? Well, some might say it's big. The kingdom of God is big. There's lots of Christians here on earth, and there's lots of churches. If we count them all up, it's big. It's a big reality. They might think of it in terms of its size. Others might give a literal answer. It's God and the hearers. Who can argue with that? That's the kingdom of God. All the hearers gathered around God's word to hear it. That's the kingdom of God. Others might say it's hidden. The kingdom of God is hidden. You can't really see it. It's hard to describe. It's a hidden thing. It's not bad either. Others might be ignorant. I don't know what the kingdom of God is. Never thought about what the kingdom of God is. Or I don't even know whether God exists and whether there really is a kingdom of God, some might say. Still others might compare it, right? Might give a comparison. They might get a little creative and have a comparison. The kingdom of God is like, fill in the blank. And isn't that what Jesus did today in our text from Mark chapter 4? He says the kingdom of God is as if or like something else. He used a comparison. Now, comparisons are something we use to understand something better. We might not understand all on its own, but we have a comparison so we know what it's like. It's something like this, and therefore we get it. It's kind of like that. Although we recognize that some things are without comparison, don't we? For example, a few weeks back, we celebrated Holy Trinity Sunday, the three in one. How do you compare that to anything? It's hard. You can't. Now, there's been some attempts to compare it, but it doesn't really work. For example, some have said, because it has some associations that just don't work out, but some have said the Trinity is like an apple, right? There's the skin and the seed and the flesh, all three, and yet one apple. Not bad, but to a little child who hears that might think what? Oh, God is like a piece of fruit, right? Not so. No, of course not. Or some might say, God, the Trinity is like a three-leaf clover. There's three leaves and yet one leaf. Not bad, it's okay, but it breaks down because, like I said, a little child might hear that and say, oh, so God is a type of leaf, right? No. God is God. He is without comparison. You can't compare him to anything. He is God. And isn't that kind of comforting to know that God isn't like his creation? Rather, his creation is kind of like God. That gives me some confidence to understand God is greater than, other than. Some might say today, God is like a father. Wrong. God isn't like a father. He is a father. He is the father. And all other fathers on earth get their likeness from God the Father, not the other way around. God is the Father. Notice, Jesus never said in the Gospels, he never said, I am like a door. Or, I am like the Good Shepherd. Or, I am like a vine. Did he ever say those things? No. But he did say, I am the door. I am the vine. I am the Good Shepherd. There's a difference, isn't there? There's more power there. There's something to that. There's some authority. And that makes you consider, where does likeness really come from? Makes us consider. God wants to be known not so much for what he is like, because he's beyond comparison, but rather who he is, who he is. Not simply what he is like, which is not like anything. You know, Mark Twain, a good author, American author, said, God created man in his own image, and then man turned around and did the same favor to God, right? It's kind of true, isn't it? Rather, we should recognize God isn't like us. We are created in his image. So God is beyond comparison, although he does use comparisons down here below. And that's what we're going to think about today, thinking about the kingdom of God, because Jesus does, thanks be to God. He's not like the Trinity. The kingdom of God is not like the Trinity. So you might think of like this. God, his very being, his essence, is beyond comparison. But God's work, his kingdom, here below, is not beyond comparison. It can be compared. And that's why Jesus taught in his ministry in parables about the kingdom so that we might understand and compare it to something that we know and understand what the kingdom of God is like so that we get God's answer rather than man's attempts to describe what the kingdom of God is like. So, verse 26 through 29, we hear in our gospel today from Mark 4. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." What should we here learn about the kingdom of God? Well, we compare it rightly when we compare it to a man who scatters seed on the ground. But we compare it wrongly when we compare it to a dentist who's pulling out teeth or drilling out cavities. Ouch! That's not what the kingdom of God is like. It's not a hard thing. Rather, it's like a farmer who's scattering seed on the ground. We compare it wrongly when we compare it to an injury lawyer who's trying to pull a bunch of money out for his client and also maybe 20 or 40% for himself. No, that's not the right comparison for the kingdom of God. We compare it wrongly when we compare it to a carnival worker or to some thrill seeker like a skydiver. The kingdom of God isn't just a bunch of thrills, temporary, and then gone. We don't compare it rightly when we compare it to politics or to business. Either of them have that little phrase, "You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You give me this, I'll give you that." That's not what the kingdom of God is like. Or journalism. We report, you decide. No, that's not what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is as if a man scatters seed on the ground. And then he goes and he sleeps and he rises night and day and the seed grows and sprouts. He knows not how. What does this mean? Who is this man? What is the ground that it's referring to? What is the seed? Well, dear friends, I believe that this man is a representative of the faithful man of God. The faithful man of God. This man is not God, because God would know how the seed works. But this man doesn't know how the seed works. That's why I think it's a faithful man of God here below. And the seed, what's the seed? God's word. And the earth, well, that's all the hearers who receive the word of God. This farmer, this man, he sleeps and he rises night and day. Therefore, he doesn't lose sleep about whatever the kingdom of God, whatever God has in mind for his earth. He doesn't lose sleep over it. He's at peace. As we just sang in the hymn about Almighty God, your word is cast. May it produce the fruits of peace and joy. How can there be peace if you're not getting any sleep? Right? It's good to have some sleep and some rest. God's creatures were given a Sabbath day. Why? Not for man for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man, that we might have rest and peace. God didn't create us just to be a bunch of worrywarts or a bunch of people who just work, scattering more seed. No. The kind of man, the faithful man of God, scatters the seed and then he goes and he sleeps. He rests night and day. And he rises and he sees the seed sprouting. I remember, and coming up next week, something in the Gospels about Jesus. They're all out on a boat and there's a storm. And where is Jesus? He's sleeping. He's sleeping. And they're all like, "Lord, aren't you concerned? We're going to die." And he's like, "You are with God the Creator, God the Son. What more could you ask for? Sleep, rest. Fear not," you'll hear him say next week in the Gospel. So this man is not God. He's the faithful man of God who rises night and day. The seed is God's word, and the earth together and that seed produce fruit, produce the seed. It produces by itself, by God's power. Not because the earth is self-sufficient on its own. No, it needs the seed. The earth by itself can't produce anything. But you put a seed in the earth, and what happens? The seed sprouts and grows, right? Kind of like Adam was made from the dirt, wasn't he? Soil, from the dust of the ground, God created man. And man didn't do anything until when? Until God breathed on him. God gave his spirit. That's his word. His word and spirit go together. When that entered Adam, the man, taken from the Adama, the ground, then life occurred. And what does this teach us as the church? It teaches us how necessary is the word of God. How important is the word of God for the church to prevail, to understand the kingdom of God? It's not dependent on men. It's not dependent on you and me and our efforts and how much we work and how hard we do it and every little strategy that we come up with. No, the faithful man of God in God's kingdom scatters the seed and then goes to sleep, and he'll see the fruits rising and sprouting. He knows not how. He trusts. He's a faithful man of God. He trusts God, the giver of the word, his all-powerful, all-sufficient word. Man is not autonomous, not self-sufficient. He depends on God. The church here below that won't fail, that will prevail against the gates of hell, it'll work not because of man, not because of Peter or the apostles, but because of God's word. A very powerful, almighty word. This is what the kingdom of God is. A man who trusts the word of God. We can't add to God's power or make it work better. We can't stop the kingdom of God from coming. It comes by itself, even without our prayer, Luther says. The kingdom of God will prevail because God's power is with it, and it rests not in man, but in God, our heavenly Father, and the God-man, Jesus Christ. Another question for you this morning. Do you trust that one little word of God, the three in one, is more powerful than 1,000 words of 301 men? How about 3,001 men? 3,000,000 and one men. Listen again to the parable. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Do you trust that God's kingdom will prevail? Do you trust that God's kingdom is powerful and provides shade and rest for the birds of the air, all those who seek out God, all those from the other nations who might seek God from a true and sincere heart and hear the word of God, that the church, the kingdom of God here on earth, is like a plant that's grown up and puts out its and invites people in to have that rest that we have, shade for others? And that one little powerful word, the seed planted, Christ Jesus, as we heard in the text, that seed that dies and comes back alive, risen again from the tomb, the church that is reconciled to God because of the cross and has its hope in God because of the power of the resurrection, that church provides shade and invites others in to rest in the promises of God just like us. Welcome, friends, to your Sabbath today. Come, receive and rest in God, like a farmer who plants and goes and sleeps and rises night and day, knowing that the kingdom of God works because the power of God is in his word. If so, you trust those things. If so, then live the parable. Scatter the seed in which you've received from God. His word, study it, memorize it, take it to heart. Speak it to others that they might hear. Speak it to your family. Speak it to your friends, to strangers. Scatter the seed, knowing that it will work. Not trusting how, not understanding how, but trust that the seed works. Then sleep and rise, O man. Rest. Not losing sleep over whether or not the seed will work or not. It works. Trust. Even Jesus slept. Finally, expect a harvest. As the sower who puts in the seed doesn't just do it to look at a nice plant, he does it in order to enjoy the fruits. There will be a harvest. There will be a time where God comes again to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, that we enjoy his presence forever, sight, in our sight, that we see God face to face. Expect a harvest, a kingdom where we shall behold the King and enjoy together the new creation, the fruits of faith and love, the fruits of faith in God and love for our neighbor, unstained by sin, an everlasting kingdom without end, because Jesus Christ the everlasting, transcendent one, the great teacher of parables, is here for you in his word without fail. Praise be to God. Amen.